Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'll be joined by chemistry expert Bob Lowry, and we're going to talk about the different surface types and some of the cautions and some of the ways to maintain and balance certain pools based on if they're a vinyl liner, fiberglass, plaster, or Pebbletec. So we're going to go into detail about the different surface types and basically the chemistry and balancing of the water in these surface types. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. Let's talk about surface types. We mentioned in the startup the different startup methods, and we didn't really touch on the surface types because I wanted to leave it for a separate recording. There's all different precautions and care methods for the surface type. And let's start with one that is becoming very popular because of the cost of pools nowadays being built and the fact that if you want a pool, probably the cheapest one you can get is a vinyl, maybe above ground pool or in-ground liner pool is less expensive than a full plaster or Pebbletec pool. So what are some of the things to look for when you're getting a vinyl pool or an above ground pool installed?
Well, you know, I think that the preparation of the area where the pool is going to be is really important. And so they need to make sure that you've got a solid bed for it, that they put the proper stuff underneath the bottom of the pool so something doesn't grow up through the ground and grow into your pool. And one of the biggest causes of problems is what they call nut grass. And nut grass can grow right through the vinyl and right into your pool. It's pretty tough stuff. But you need to just make sure that the preparation is right. And then there's any number of methods that they use for the form that goes around the pool to hold the pool up. And whether it's in ground or on ground, there needs to be a support system for the vinyl. After all, the vinyl is just a piece of vinyl. It's only by, I don't remember the thickness, but it seems to me it's like an eighth or 3/16, no, an eighth, yeah, about an eighth of an inch thick or less. So it is, you know, a membrane, and it's going to fit inside of something, and then that something has to be supported. And you want something that will last so that it doesn't deteriorate or whatever. And there's steel and there's fiberglass and there's, you know, different things that they use to hold the structure up. Getting the vinyl in the pool is really important, where the seam is and where it meets the very top of the pool, where the coping is, how it attaches at the top so that it doesn't come loose. And remember that it is vinyl, and so sharp objects in the pool can tear the vinyl.
Yeah.
And allow water to get behind it, and then you have some serious problems.
And, you know, along with vinyl is fiberglass. It's also less expensive to drop in the fiberglass shell than to build a pool. And chemically wise, I find that the vinyl and fiberglass pools tend to hold pH better and hold chlorine better. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is.
Well, I'm not so sure that there's a reason for chlorine lasting longer in a vinyl pool, but certainly pH and alkalinity, you know, in a plaster pool, you've always got a little bit of plaster and alkalinity coming out of the plaster into the pool. And with a vinyl pool, you don't have that happening. You know, vinyl is plastic. It's the same thing we put, you know, water in plastic bottles and, you know, chemicals and everything else. It's pretty pretty good stuff. The problem usually is that it's not very thick. But fiberglass pools are becoming more and more popular, especially because you can dig a hole, drop it in, and be done. The time from ordering a pool to when you can dive into it can be less than 30 days in some cases for a fiberglass pool. You know, if you're going to do a traditional pool, you're probably looking at 6 or 8 weeks to build it. You know,
yeah, and then with the fiberglass too, I know that a lot of the builders will void the warranty if the customer uses trichlor tablets in there.
It seems like the vinyl and the fiberglass are subject to more problems with acid than anything else. And when I had a lab and when I was at Leslie's some years ago as their technical director, you know, I was able to do some things in the lab just to try them out. It's what chemists do. You know, when I took pieces of vinyl and I dropped straight chlorine on it, never bleached it, never did anything to it. One drop of acid and the color was gone. You know, and actually that kind of surprised me because I, you know, my logic thinking tells you it should be the other way. You know, chlorine is an oxidizer. It's a bleach. You know, you put it on vinyl, it should bleach the color out. Didn't do it. But one drop of acid on it and the color disappeared. It was white.
Yeah. And with the fiberglass pool, with the tablet, if it were to fall in there, it would leave a permanent stain.
Yeah, it would probably leave a permanent stain. And it may even blister the pool where it fell in there. No question about it. And I've had people send me pictures and they go, oh, gee, the homeowner took two chlorine tablets and threw it in a pool. I go, that's permanent unless you want to re-gel coat the pool.
And so with the vinyl and fiberglass, I think you mentioned that the plastic pool creates its own acid demand, kind of. With the vinyl fiberglass pool, the problem that I have a lot is that the pH is always pretty low in there, even without using the tablets.
Right. This is true. There isn't any alkalinity that's reaching into the pool. So we do say that, you know, I do promote a system of using targets, but the target for calcium hardness in a plaster pool is 350 parts per million. And I think the PHTA guideline is 200 to 400 ppm. But for vinyl, I recommend 250 parts per million. We don't need that much calcium in there. We're not trying to prevent the calcium from coming out of the walls. Yeah. We don't need it. So we use a 200 or 250, but you know, many of the areas where they have vinyl pools, they didn't even check for calcium. They just fill the pool up and check pH and alkalinity, and that's it. And you really need to be checking all the things. You need to be checking cyanuric acid and metals and everything else, just like you do every pool.
Yeah, we mentioned that plaster pools are probably the most popular still. And what are some of the issues you can have? We mentioned in the startup issues you can have with plaster pools. One thing that I noticed is a lot of the colored plaster pools are susceptible to modeling, you know, the color kind of patterns in there that you see.
Yeah.
Is there a way to even prevent modeling from happening, or is there a consensus of what actually causes that modeling in the pool?
My expertise pretty much stops at the water.
Yeah.
And my former partner, Greg Garrett, was a master at surfaces. And he could look at a surface, he could lean down in a pool and rub his hand on it and tell you exactly whether it was trout right, if they put too much accelerator in it. You know, I mean, he could tell you everything about that pool, everything about the surface of that pool. Me, I look at a pool, I go, that's nice, you know. And so I don't know what causes nodules, what causes troweling marks, which causes delamination, all those other things that get into the surface of the pools. That is a whole subject. And you could spend a lifetime like I have done figuring out surface problems. And I've chosen to take care of water problems. So I don't know whether there's something you can do or not do to prevent modeling of colored surface plaster. I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah. So your expertise, of course, is the chemistry part.
That's
And,
right.
you know, the focus on chemistry, you have most of your literature is for plaster surface pools, you know, the balancing of it, the target ranges, because those are the most popular. And I think that's what you focus on, right, in your
Well,
literature.
we do, and you know, many vinyl pools are not as expensive as plaster, and we find a lot of people want, you know, to take care of their own pools if they have vinyl versus somebody that has a plaster pool that spent a lot of money on it. They afford to have somebody wash their car, clean their house, and clean their pool. You know, they pay people to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, the vinyl guys, especially the above ground vinyl people, they might have spent, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 on a pool, you know, and they don't want to have to pay somebody, you know, 100 or 200 bucks a month to come and clean their pool.
One of the things that I notice about the above ground pools, and this is just from the service end of it, is that, well, first of all, the manufacturer can't ship full size equipment in the box when they sell them at, you know, Costco or Walmart. And so you have this extremely small filter. I mean, I've seen cartridge filters as small as 15 square feet on a, you know, 5 or 10,000 gallon above ground pool that they sell, and maybe a 1/8 horsepower pump if you're lucky, and no timer. So I think the first thing you want to do is upgrade your equipment, right?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think I've seen one of those package pools that ever has the right size equipment, ever. You know, because they're trying to keep the cost down. You know, they're trying to sell you a package for $2,000. They can't put $1,000 worth of equipment on it. So the first thing you need to do is upgrade that. I have even seen, you mentioned a little small filter. I've even seen a paper filter. Not even polyester, it's paper, like you use on a carburetor in a car. It's made out of paper. And I mean, that's like a coffee filter, man. That's not very much filtration at all. And the thing is barely, you know, turning over any water. It takes you 3 days to get one turnover in your pool. And those above ground pools don't have a main drain. And so all the stuff that gets to the bottom never makes it in, never gets sucked into the filter to be filtered out.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think that's one of the issues people have with above ground pools is the equipment versus chemistry. And then the last surface type, and it's really popular in California, are the PebbleTec or Pebble Sheen surfaces. And PebbleTec basically is just rock. And is there any kind of, I know for me in my area, the two number one problems I deal with PebbleTec is a lot of calcium buildup on the pebble and also algae getting inside the crevices a lot. I don't know if, you know, is that, would you consider those very common problems in the PebbleTec?
There are some companies that when they make the exposed aggregate or PebbleTec type of finishes, they actually get a diamond sander and sand that stuff to where it's smooth instead of just exposing the aggregate and then dissolving the cream that's on top of the aggregate. They actually polish it with a diamond sander. And when they do that, it has a lot less of that getting algae and getting calcium into those crevices. There's not much you can do about that except from a maintenance standpoint. You need to make sure that the filter is on or the circulation system is on long enough to keep the sanitizer moving around in the pool. Because if you have a quick turnover, that means the water is sitting idle for many hours. Bacteria or algae can use up the sanitizer in the area surrounding it. And if there's no water movement, then it can grow without new sanitizer being replaced and it can flourish. So you need to keep the water moving in those pools. And you also need to either use a cleaner that, can brush like a robotic cleaner, or you need to brush the pool once or twice a week to keep that stuff from getting a foothold, if you will, into the pebble finish.
Yeah, because in a PebbleTec pool, once the algae gets a foothold, it's a real battle to remove it. So I think those suggestions to keep the water moving and keep it from happening in the first place are key. Because if you're a service person out there, and you've had a PebbleTec surface pool that had an algae bloom, it's twice or three times the amount of work to clear it up because of those
pebbles. It really is. And I have been a proponent for a number of years about keeping a chlorine level that is different from what the PHTA recommends. They recommend a level of 2.0 to 4.0 parts per million of free chlorine in the pool. And that doesn't always work. And my recommendation is to keep a chlorine level in the pool that is 7.5% of the cyanuric acid level. And this is for residential pools only, but it is a way to make sure that algae doesn't grow in the pool. And the problem is that many times you don't have sufficient chlorine in the pool to kill the algae. And if you've got, for instance, if you've got, say, 80 parts per million or 100 parts per million of cyanuric acid in the pool, you actually probably need about 7 or 8 parts per million of chlorine. I'm sorry, you need about 5 or 6 parts per million of chlorine in the pool to keep algae from growing. But the PHTA guideline says 2 to 4. I'm a little bit at odds with them, but I've done a lot of research to try and figure out what the level should be. And the consensus is that you need at least 5% of cyanuric acid. Mm-hmm. So that's the minimum. And the proper level is probably 7.5. And if you use borate in your pool, you can lower those levels again because they prevent algae.
A basic example would be if you have a PebbleTec pool, and we'll just keep it really basic, and you have a cyanuric acid level of 100 parts per million, then you're going to need a free chlorine level of 7.5 parts per million. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so if you're getting algae in your PebbleTec pool, it may be because you don't have enough free chlorine in there, and that's where you're getting the algae blooms from. So I agree with you. I think you're analysis of the chlorine level is much more accurate because I've dealt with pools with high cyanuric acid levels. They get algae and get things like that. And when you raise it above a level that you think is astronomical, it does actually, or maintain it at that level, 10 parts per million, everything is better. And I think that kind of proves the point that the high cyanuric acid level is a major factor.
It really is. And also, too, on a PebbleTec pool, I would recommend putting borate in the pool at 50 parts per million because one of the characteristics of borate is that it prevents algae. It is not an algaecide. It doesn't kill it, but it prevents it. And this is what you want to have happen, is to have the borate in the pool so that when the algae tries to get to start growing, the borate kills it, prevents it from starting. And so using borate and keeping a proper chlorine level in a pebble pool is the right thing to do.
And I think there has been an explosion in the above ground pool market. I think last year they said they sold over 1 million of them, and they ran out of stock last summer because of the virus, everyone's staying home. And I think this summer is going to be very similar, where you're not going to be able to find a vinyl above ground pool unless you get it early in the season. A lot of stores are out of them still. So the vinyl care is a little bit different than a plaster pool care. And I think going over the different surface types is important, especially since a lot of people are buying a vinyl above ground pool now. And you're going to run into that more out there. If you're doing pool service, you're going to run into more vinyl pools out there, definitely. And if you take on above ground pool service, you're going to have to know certain aspects of the above ground pool. And we mentioned that the equipment is usually undersized. And that's one of the truisms of above ground pools out there. And if you're looking for the other series of podcasts that I recorded with Bob Lowry, go to my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and on the banner, you're going to click on the podcast icon, and from there, it'll take you to a drop-down menu, and you can find the previous episodes I recorded with them. Bob Lowry also has a website, pcti.org. You can find helpful articles there, and also different chemistry guides there, and also his link to his certified residential course. Again, that's pcti.org. And if you're in the industry and you want to enhance your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits for joining there, including a discount on your general liability insurance. You can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week. God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.